We are now joined by Kurt Busch, driver of the number 41 Haas Automation Ford. We'll open the floor to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. Start over here with Al. Go over to Claire.
Kurt, Al Pearson, Auto Week. When teams look at the playoff format, the three-round deal that leads to Homestead, among those three races, is there any one of the three each round that teams consider to be crucial? Like the third one may be more important than the first one, or do they all have equal weight?
I think it depends on where you are in the point standings, how many bonus points you're going to be able to carry with you throughout the playoffs, and then the goal of the team, the overall strength of the team. You know, for us on the 41 car, we believe we're a top five program, and we need to get through to that Elite Eight group, which is that Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix round. That's where, over the last few years of this format, I see the most drama, the most stress, the most focus, because if you win at one of those three or have a good run through those three, you get to Homestead and you have a shot at the championship. But teams can look at this year with the first round as being the toughest because of the Roval and how unique that cutoff race is going to be and how you have to approach that race. And so with Truex, Harvick, my little brother, those guys have so many bonus points, you could almost say they're not stressing the Roval as much as some of the other teams are. So it just depends where you sit within the points, the bonus points you have, and the goals of your team. But each round is three races. It's so short. Anything can happen in three races. That's what's tough about this format.
Claire B. Lang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Can you talk about the endurance part of this race? I think Denny Hamlin said he fainted in the shower twice after this race. Is it? Can you describe it?
This one is tougher than the Coke 600, I think. It's that long mental sequence of sets of tires, long green flag runs where you're racing the racetrack, and how hard the track changes throughout the race, how hard it is because the tires drop off so much. And, you know, it's Labor Day weekend. It's hot. It's muggy. And this is the good old South. And so it's just a good challenge. And this is where, you know, it kind of kicks into playoff mode with this race now, Indianapolis next week. These next 12 races, you got to be at your best. And it's great to come here to Darlington and kind of kick off that stretch run.
Go next back to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net and PRN. Kurt, you talked about the first round, but going out to Vegas, the home track for you, and talk about, you know, attacking that track in the first round. But is there that much pressure on you because it is a home track?
And again, back to the first question, the first round of playoffs this year has three new racetracks in it for the first round. So Richmond has never been part of the playoffs before, neither is Vegas, and obviously the Roval. And so hometown, it's exciting, it's fun. There's tons of stuff going on to promote the playoffs with Las Vegas Motor Speedway and my friends out there. It's busy, but I'm focused to go there to get a solid finish. Vegas has been a tough track on me over the years. I look at Richmond being a better opportunity for us to win, but you never know. Right now, Stuart Haas is strong. All the mile and a half, so we've had good chances at winning. But what we have to remember is we've never been to Vegas in September, and it's going to be easily 100 degrees, 140-degree track temp. It's going to be a whole different setup when we get there. So I hope we've done our homework, our setups, even the engine department, with how different the air is going to be and the feel of the engine with it being so hot out. You know, we're not here to win one. We're here to win a bunch. And it's not a relief to win one. You want to win seven, eight. You know, those guys are strong right now that are up in the top three. And for us, we've been very consistent this year. Bristol was a perfect race where pit stops were solid. Restarts, 8 out of 10 of them went our way. And luck was on our side. And if we continue to do that, to be in position to win, you have to have good pit stops and good restarts with fast cars. And so we just want to continue to build on it It's not a relief at all. We want to just keep going on the 41 group. So Billy Scott, my crew chief, it was his first win. That's special. It proves to him and all of his new guys, all the guys on this 41 car, to get that first win. That puts that stamp on it, and now they want to go and get more. So I like the way that our win happened and when it happened this season.
Hill Overton, WIXC Radio. Kurt, congratulations first on the big win at Bristol. Been a while since Daytona last year, but getting the monkey off your back's great. But let's go back farther here in history at this track. You were part of the closest win, closest finish ever here with Ricky Craven. Is it possible that we could ever see one that close again? I mean, I don't see how you could differentiate between who's first and who's second. Unfortunately, you were on the wrong side of that one, so maybe you can be on the right side of a close one here this weekend.
Yeah, it was a great win at Bristol, and it had been a little while, but it's, you know, a matter of just getting the team where it needs to be, and that's where we need to be right now. We're in a perfect spot, and it's fun to come to Darlington and celebrate Throwback Weekend. For us on the 41 car, we have a perfect sign of age for me. I get to have my own throwback. It's 2003 of that closest finish paint scheme where I finished second to Ricky Craven. Got some t-shirts to throw out tomorrow night at the big fan event, and it's a fun weekend to celebrate the past of our sport, the heritage. I saw Dylan's car has the old silver paint scheme on it. Everybody's in spirit, and that's what's so much fun about this weekend, and everybody's chipping in to continue on the legacy of the Throwback Weekend, and Darlington's the perfect place to do it. And so for us, you know, I have my show car coming down. It's the old 97 paint scheme, and I'm hopeful that Kerry Tharp will let me bring it in the garage area so I can get a picture of the 2003 car with the 2018 car side by side, so that way fans can see the true difference of what's happened in 15 years.
Steve Switzer with Alaska Press. Kurt, can you talk a little bit about team dynamics? Was there a lot of pressure on you personally before the win at Bristol, and does Eric is he under that same type of gun right now? That man, we need to get a win. How is it in terms of the team as a whole?
For us on the 41 car, we had such a big point cushion. We were virtually locked in to the playoffs. We just had to have, you know, only two or three races left to get that certification of being locked in. I think Amarola's cushion is plus 100 very easily, and that's a two-race cushion. And so there's not a lot of stress at Stewart Haas. There's almost more of a celebration of our 10-year history at Stewart Haas, and the four cars are most likely going to make the playoffs. And I think there's even a team photo scheduled next week with all the crew, all the haulers, all the cars, all the drivers, and it's a big moment because right now Stewart Haas is definitely one of the hottest teams out there, and to be doing it in the 10th season, it's kind of a cool situation.
Woody came with MRN. Kurt, just curious to get your perception on, in years past, we've had the regular season finale at Richmond. How you think that might play out at Indy next week with the different type of challenge that track presents?
Yeah, I was a little bummed out that Indianapolis got moved into the playoff cutoff race. It's such a marquee event that it can stand alone by itself, and it didn't need any kind of extra push, in my mind, to be a cutoff race or any extra tough part of our season. I mean, from here on out, though, these are all big marquee races, these final 12. I was maybe wishing that Talladega was going to be the cutoff race. That way it wasn't part of the playoffs, and maybe move Indianapolis into the playoffs. But lots of things can happen. We saw a crazy race a couple years back with so many restarts at the end, and people staying out on old tires, people coming in on fresh tires. And Indy's a tough place to pass. But at the end, everybody's in, you know, aggressive mode, moving people, shoving people out of the way. So you just don't know how many yellows are going to be at the end, or if it's going to be a long green run. So Indy is definitely a tough challenge to have as a cutoff race. But again, it's such a marquee event, you want it to kind of stand alone.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Kurt, we talk so much about that 03 race and how great it was and the finish, memorable, all this stuff. Is it a fond memory for you, though, or is there a little bit of, like, pain every time it gets brought up because of how close you came?
It's a fun race to talk about. Genuinely, I love to be part of that closest finish, and I knew I gave it my all out on the track, and when Ricky Craven and I were battling back and forth, it had that special feeling of we were deadlocked, laser-focused on each other. We didn't wreck each other, and we put on one of the coolest shows when it came to racing at a track that you're not supposed to be side-by-side on. The groove is only half a car wide here, and how special it is. And what's funny is I found this box. I have a dozen T-shirts of that finish, and it has Ricky Craven's car and my car finishing close, but it has his like 2 feet ahead on the T-shirt. I'm like, he was never that far ahead. So there's so many jokes and so much fun that comes with it. Maybe one day, if I tell the story enough, I will gain 2/1000ths of a second, and I will pass Ricky Craven. But usually that's when I wake up, and then reality sets in.
Yeah, Kurt, Al Pierce again from Auto Week. It used to be that Talladega was considered the wild card race. Is the Roval now considered the playoff wild card race? And is Talladega sort of just another race now?
So in the drivers group, we lobbied to get Talladega moved out of a cutoff race. And so now it's the second race in the second round, and Kansas becomes that cutoff. And then, you know, the politics of everything moves around. Now the Roval is a cutoff race, and it is by far worse than Talladega as far as wanting to go to a cutoff race. That's just the nature of the beast. And that's why you see guys racing so hard for every point in all the stages, making sure that they have that insurance policy when they get to that race. And so for us, I see a good opportunity for the 41 car to win at a short track. Richmond's first time in the playoffs. That's going to be our all-in type race. But if we just continue to do our job at a nice pace, we'll advance through that first round. But that Roval is going to be pretty wild.
We're going to go to Bob and then Dustin.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Just wanted to check, do you know what you're doing yet next year? And if so, can you give us any insight?
No updates. I do have two contract offers that I'm looking at. It's kind of the same thing as last year, where the team at Stuart Haas put me into free agency, and it gives me the opportunity to talk to others. And I do have the loyalty and the respect from Monster Energy. And you know, as the sport evolves and the sport changes, it's unique for me too to understand more about the ownership side and how the different structures are set up. So. No updates, just more information for me to digest, but we'll announce things when they get closer.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Kurt, you've had the opportunity to run with Furniture Row Racing in the past. You've been out there. You know those guys and Barney very well. There are a lot of questions at this point inside the garage about the future of that team as they look for sponsorship. As somebody who's been with that organization, knows that group, what does that organization mean to the sport? What would it mean if it wasn't here in some reduced capacity or wasn't here at all next year if Barney decided to make some changes?
I mean, that's a heavy question. It's a loaded question because they're the current defending championship team. And, you know, for anybody to come in and buy that program right now, you're going to have instant success. And the parts and pieces and the people that they have made that place as successful as it is, and that comes through Barney Visser and his commitment to motorsport. And so over the years, he's came in as a startup team. We made the playoffs, you know, that first year when I was racing with them. We had some weaknesses then, and they fixed those, and now look at them. They're a top team out there and one of the hottest commodities. And so I think things will work out. It's again, a tough time in our sport with sponsorship and the way that corporate America and the sponsorships are valuing our sport. And so when that is cut back from a team owner, the team owner's like, well, wait a minute. I just put, you know, a decade into developing this team, and I want it to run on its own, and now it can't. And so Barney's heart will step back in. I don't see them changing much for 2019, but I could be wrong. But for me and how I know Barney Visser, he'll work through this short term. But then it looks like there is an opportunity of what the future can bring for that program, because I mean last year they had two cars, and now they're talking about zero. I I don't think so. So state of the sport, we just have to continue to grow our sport, find new fans, and understand that there's a value in sponsorship. And that's why Monster Energy is here, is the entitlement sponsorship. They think there's a value in it. But what we have to do is make sure there's a push that there's a car number out there, number 1 through number 99, that those cars can bring value to the sponsorships and why they're on the side of them and why fans want to appreciate those sponsors. It was a special feeling to race for Barney, and you know, for me, I chose to go to a C-level team with like Phoenix Racing the year before and just kind of rebuild up and use my decade of experience and start over, so to speak. And that was a perfect, it's hard to call them a B-level team, but they were a B-level team in 2013. But yet they were right on that cusp of being an A-minus. Now they're an A-plus. And it was special for me to work with Barney, Joe Garoni, Todd Barrier is my crew chief out there. And then there was this young guy named Cole Pern, who was a gunslinger type of engineer. And now he's one of the most successful crew chiefs in the business. So it was fun to work with those guys. And when I look back on it, it was a perfect stage in my career to do such. And I wished them nothing but the best when I left.
Any additional questions for Kurt? All right, Kurt, thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.